come out and support the kids. Obviously, you'll have numerous testimonies of what God has done in and through the Victory Boxing Club and kids' lives at the golf tournament, and enjoy a great meal and enjoy some great fellowship. Thank you.
Excuse me, Savando.
Oh, Mama!
Savando, what happened after the theft? Are you guys okay?
Yeah, we're okay. Thank you. Yeah, we had insurance, but also we received a $7,500 grant.
Awesome.
To replace everything. Awesome. New lighting, new camera system, new furnace, everything.
New awesome. Unit, praise God.
Praise God.
God's finger prints are all over it.
God that steel, brother.
Yeah, it steals your heart.
Well, we know God has his fingerprints and his DNA all over what you guys do.
Thank you.
So what time is what's the tee off time there?
1 o'clock. Sorry.
1 o'clock.
Yes.
May 5th.
Yes, May 5th.
Cinco de Mayo.
All
what are
the
information
online.
Pizza for lunch.
I forgot the flyers. That's why I'm telling you and directing you to the website. I apologize.
Okay. Go to the website. Well, it's 659. Melba, I want you to know that not many people come up and say, we need to have so-and-so back, but you have been highly requested, and so we really appreciate your coming to us this morning. So I'm going to pray for you. Lord God, I thank you for our dear sister. I pray that you give her the freedom to be in our faces, and encourage us and give us the wisdom and insight that we're generally immune to. But Lord, I just pray that the message that she has for us this morning will touch each and every heart so we won't leave here unchanged. Amen.
Amen.
7 o'clock.
Thank you, Wilson. Makes me talk a little faster. Thanks, Wilson, for having me, and that's encouraging to me. I want you to know, my husband is not impressed by big name people that, you know, I get up on Sunday morning and I listen to people preach while I'm getting ready, and he reads his words and he's not very impressed by men, but he loves Wilson, so that speaks to your character. You're not impressive, Wilson. No. It tells me that you have a heart after God. So thank you for having me, but thank you for being the kind of man that my husband will get up every once a month and get out here and push. And sometimes, especially if I'm off, I say, stay, and he says, no. So, I don't know you that well, but I can just appreciate your heart because of that. And I don't want to even start and pray without recognizing the best husband, the most godly man I know, the man that I love and respect.
Amen. So, thank you, God.
And I want to thank the Bellevue Christian Center crowd, because it feels good to look out there and see you. It makes me a little less nervous talking to this different crowd. So God is good, and we're here for him today. Father, today I pray that you would let us hear what you want us to hear. God, let every person in this room leave with a nugget, something that you want to put your finger on. I pray that we would be challenged as well as encouraged. And I pray that we would leave here not only with full stomachs, but with a heart that's full, that is heard from heaven. In Jesus' name. Today, I am a lot of things. I cannot see that clock, so I'm going to need yours. I am a lot of things. I'm a mommy. I'm a wife. I'm a daughter, I'm a teacher, I'm a pastor's wife, and I get thrown a bazillion other things. I am a lot of things, and I want you to hear today that even as I'm sharing, I might say I, we, they, them, and back to me, but today I kind of want to generically speak for the girls, the women that I rub shoulders with every single day. And in this age of somewhat feminism, sometimes I feel that women feel that we're talking, but we're not always being heard, or that maybe there are some things happening on the inside that we just aren't saying out loud. So today I kind of speak for them. So if I kind of weave in and out and change pronouns, don't get that twisted. I feel like I want to share the heart of girls and women that are in your lives. First of all, before we get going, I want, speaking to all my brothers, I want to kind of give us a working definition today so that we'll all be on the same page. Is that okay? So the definition today, I have a picture that's not going to work, I guess, and it is a picture of my family. And in this picture are my two brothers. And they are my brothers because we share a common parent. And you are my brother because we share our Heavenly Father. So today, can we just establish, no matter what the bazillion roles that you play, you're my brother today because we share a parent in common. We have God the Father in common. You are my brother. I don't go to church with you. You are my brother. I never seen you before. You are my brother. I might not ever get asked back again. You're still my brother. Is that a good working definition for us to get going with today? Awesome. Why I'm here? I am here to tell some of you for the first time. I am here to remind some of you who are have been around a minute and heard it, a message that you might not hear often enough. And that message is, we need you. And for some women to say that, that might be like drinking vinegar. I need you. We need you. I teach fifth grade. Little girls need you. I'm a wife. I hear women say all the time, you know, I'm kind of nervous about letting them know I need them, because then, you know, I start to feel insecure or they start to have little manly issues. We need you. Not just as husbands, not just as fathers. I need every man in this room to see himself as a brother. And I hope when I go through a couple things that you're going to be able to say amen to that. In Ecclesiastes 4, we'll go there. Ecclesiastes 4 is obviously written, you know, there's a time and there's a season, and it is written by this wonderfully wise man, and we can only read through, and this is going to be a super, super familiar passage, but most of the time is shared for couples, or for friendships and relationships of the day. I just kind of want to briefly skim over a passage of out of Ecclesiastes 4. If you got it on your devices, you can pull that up. But today I want you to look at it in a different light. I want you to look at it as, what is God asking you for? And what does God require as a brother? Because sometimes we can get so stuck in, I'm being a husband, I'm being a pastor, I'm being a whatever, that we pass by a lot of opportunities to be a brother. So if you look at verse 8, Ecclesiastes, the writer, is talking about, Wilson, how meaningless life can be. You could be successful and you could have everything you need and you can look wonderful on the outside. And your life on the inside, you can just feel like, who cares? What difference does it make? You know, am I significant at all? That's what the writer is saying in Ecclesiastes 4. Obviously, you can read all that in its entirety yourself. But he's talking for us about the meaninglessness of life. And verse 8, look at it. You'll have to kind of go to the part B. In verse 8, it says, you know, life is meaningless. It's all vanity. And dot, I didn't have a brother. Now, after three announcements, I'm going to wait a second on that, because that's what I need you to hear today. We didn't have a brother. Not that I didn't have a husband. I got a husband. I absolutely adore him. But I need y'all as my brother. I have a son, and sometimes I need my son to be my brother. Remember, that's sort of weird. Talk to God about it. The Holy Spirit will do his job. Just keep chewing on this, okay? Verse 8 says, guys, life can be pretty meaningless. Dot, 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 Kevin. if I don't have a brother. And it's just really important for me to just kind of say that up front before we get going. I need a brother. And I hear women here all the time, especially for men who love God. They're doing this and they're doing this, and they so don't want to complain or nag or whine, but they need you as their brother. So if we look at verse 9, I'm going to just read through it really quickly. Verse 9 says, and this is super familiar, you could probably quote it, two are better than one because they got a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other one up. But pity anyone who falls down and has nobody to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered at your presence, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily and quickly broken. And you probably hear that even at weddings, you know, the yoking together, and that's all cool too. I've got three questions for you today. And all three, I hope, somewhere or another, they're going to challenge you on, oh, there's my family. This is my family at a function, I don't know how many years ago. Hook is really good chronologically naming years. This is my family at a family dinner. We're hanging outside in North Carolina, out by the shed. We had fried fish and barbecued a hog. It was awesome. And in the middle, you see it says happy birthday. The four of us, all four of our birthdays are in July, so this probably was a family dinner birthday deal. But at the bottom right, you see those two boys? My brother has a green shirt on, and my other brother has a light shirt on. Those are my two brothers. And my mom says we're a Chex Mix family. You could line all five of her kids up and swear they didn't belong to the same people. Those two brothers, they are my brothers because we share, hallelujah, we share the same mother and father. And I'm a teacher, I'm an educator, and believe me, that's getting to be an anomaly. But those are my brothers because we share a parent together. And I just kind of wanted you to have a face and a picture on what we're trying to do today. I'm wanting you to see in the body of Christ, I want you to seriously see yourselves. You guys are men. This is a men's breakfast. And you call each other brother. And I think you do that more readily with each other than you do with us, with women. Y'all a quiet group. Is it just too early? Okay. So that is my family and those are my brothers. But I would dare after today, I would want to say, could I put you in that picture with me? Could I have you in that middle picture, in that bottom picture, and stand between you and say, these are my brothers. Not just because they say they have the same father, but because they step up to be a brother. We're always telling men, man up, be a man, be a husband, be a leader. I'm telling you today, be a brother. That's what women and like me need. So my first question to you would be, can I count on you? Can I count on you, brothers? Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, two are better than one because when they work, they get a better increase. When you put $5 in the bank, a year from now when you go back to the bank, you don't want to just find $5 there. You want to find $5 plus. So you want an increase for what you're doing. Because they're working together, they're more efficient. Anybody got a job, a chore, a project? Something at church that you know is not working as efficiently, financially or manpower-wise, as it should. It says, the contemporary English version says, because you work together, you'll get more enjoyment out of what you do. I cannot tell you how many women tell me, I don't mind doing what I'm doing, Mama. I don't mind doing the dishes and scrubbing the floor and putting the kids to bed and running to the grocery store. Your first challenge, my first question is, as my brother, Jim, will you just jump in? Will you just jump in? Donnie, as women, I hear women say all the time, why do I have to ask them? Why do they need an invitation? They see that refrigerator empty. Why do I have to say, honey, I'm going to the grocery store? Dot, dot, dot. and there was not a brother. Well, I went to work today and I made money to pay for those groceries. Jump in. We need you to jump in. I need you to be a brother, not just to women and wives, little girls. I'm a teacher. And when we have open houses and plays and poetry slams, guess who shows up? Mom and grandma. And I do have, we're military. Our military, the base is good about releasing those guys to come. And I totally get we can't do everything. We are limited as humans. I need you, we need you as brothers to jump in. When we're working, you might see our face, brother. My face is looking like I'm sucking on lemons.
Come on.
Ooh, girlfriend, loves Jesus, going to heaven. Got a seat saved for herself. Look at this face. Brother need to step in. Does this help? Don't just look at people and say, ooh, what's wrong with her? I'll just give her a minute. I'll give her a little space. Jump in. Give her help. Don't wait for her to ask. Them to ask. Your daughters to ask. To be a brother means that when I ask you to work, when I need you, you'll just jump in. I can count on you to do that without needing an invitation. Galatians 6:2 says you obey the law of Christ when you lend a helping hand. I want to obey God. I want to be a man who obeys God. Jump in. When my face is looking like this, I need some jumping in. Okay? And I challenge you. When you see me looking like that, Lou, say, do I need to talk to my brother? And I might say yes. Men, can I ask you, can I challenge you? We need you as brothers to jump in. Galatians says you'll be obeying God. Yes, it blesses us. Yes, we get more work done. We work happier, more efficiently, more effectively. Would you please just jump in? Amen?
Amen.
So my first question is can I count on you to jump in? Can I count on you to serve? Can I count on you to do that four-letter word, W-O-R-K, work? When you come home from your job, there is stuff that still needs to be done at home. Check out my face. It will tell you. This is all the invitation you need, okay? So secondly, I just want us to kind of look at, first, when you work with me, will you help me enjoy this more? Because I'm not so heavy with the burden of it. Secondly, can I count on you to support and defend me? I am not always right. Believe me, I am so not always right. Very, very strong-willed. But I can depend on you to protect me. And I always tell him, I said, you wouldn't let people talk about me mean, would you? And I'm absolutely secure in that. Even when I'm wrong, I know he would defend me because he's the first to correct me. So my second question would be, can I count on you to support me? It says, if one falls down, this is verse 10, if I fall down, if your wife fall down, if your daughter falls down, if that lady over there that goes to church with us falls down, she's struggling, she might even be in blatant sin, can I count on you to help me up? Number one, I need you to jump in. Number two, I need you to hold me up. So the first challenge today is I need you to jump in anywhere you see work to be done to help and assist. We need you. But secondly, when you see me struggling, I'm getting tired. You see me getting weary. I got three kids. I'm a single mom. Just helping me get those rascals out of the car to the church on Sunday morning. Do you know what a blessing that would be? So my brain's not totally checked out by the time the sermon starts. I tell my husband, any given Sunday, I can absolutely not show up in church and have done everything God wants me to do. Because between the parking lot and the bathroom, I'm totally ministered out before the sermon starts. Somebody is going to be crying in the bathroom, and somebody's going to be fighting in the parking lot. So, do you see where you can so be helpful? I'm telling you today, I'm telling you what I hear so much of, and women are not whining, but they're saying, I feel like I've said it to him a couple different ways, and maybe they're just tired of hearing me say it. And some, Or sometimes they're just tired of saying it and figure it doesn't matter anyway, or you're not going to do anything different. I hope hearing it from the word in a little different slant will help you see that if you want to be a better man, be a brother to us. Verse 10 says, when they two lie down together, they will keep warm. How can you keep warm if you're alone? You know what? Anybody in here know how cold life can be? How hard it can be? And how alone you can feel? You can be married and feel alone. You can have 5 siblings and feel alone. We need you. I need you as my brothers, to see me struggling, when you see me faltering, when you see me kind of standing alone out in the cold. I need you. I watch those kids up on the end of our street. When the weather's good, they're all just kind of hanging out, and they're all just kind of, but you know, on a good Nebraska morning, you can just see them all kind of, you know, they can't be too friendly, but they're all kind of huddled up together, you know. Even in the natural, we know that when it's cold and when things are hard,
amen,
we need to kind of pull in close. What I'm saying to you, and I don't want you to get this twisted as men, because my husband's a men's pastor, oh, I get it. Believe me, I get it. I realize that it is not always appropriate for you to do everything and be everything to women in certain situations. But Donnie, if you see me and I'm struggling and I'm faltering and I'm standing out in the cold and I'm by myself, it might not be always appropriate for you to do it, but if God showed you, you can send somebody else. It's kind of like missions. I can't go on every mission trip, but I can help send you.
Amen. Amen.
So please don't use the fear of falling, the inappropriateness sometimes of that male-female connection to keep you from being part of the solution. I need you. And if you don't think it's appropriate, tell Pastor Hooker and let him send Carolyn. But do you see how you can still be my brother and say, you know what, Carolyn? I can tell by her face. I remember I saw Kevin one morning and Kevin said, you might want to go find my wife. Do you remember that, Kevin? And I found your wife. And she did need some intervention. And it was so funny. Just because somebody showed they cared, it was like instantly. We were good. She was good. But that he was a brother to his wife that day. He said, I think my wife might need some. Isn't that great? I love to see men being brothers to the women in their lives. So my first question is, will you work? And my second question is, will you defend me and support me? And my third one, I guess, is, and this is the one we don't feel so secure about. I do hear this, and my heart sometimes, I think, has a little doubt about this too, is, I know you will fight with me when I'm here, when I'm with you. You know, Russ and Carolyn going to Africa, side by side, she probably knows, yeah, if something jumped off in Africa, he would take care of me. But back in Bellevue, he's at work. If somebody says something out of the way about your wife, you need to jack them up and tell them I said so. Now, she might be wrong, and you got to go home and correct her. But you don't let nobody mess over your wife. I don't let anybody put their mouth on my husband. Now, you know, if we're teasing and joking, yeah. But, and even then, I'm like, stop it. Because you don't want to make me angry. I will backslide over my husband. God has been good. I adore him. But fighting for me just doesn't mean you'll defend me when somebody's coming after me. It says, let's find that, verse 12. It says, one might be overpowered in a battle, a struggle, and some sort of opposition, but two can defend themselves, and a true brother will fight with you. There is some stuff coming at us today. You know, the Bible says, you know, if walking with the footmen has wearied you, how are you going to keep up when the horses and the chariots come? When it gets worse, what are you going to do? There's stuff I can fight off and do pretty well by myself. Very capable lady here. But there's sometimes stuff I gotta run home and say, you have to pray. I need you. I need your help. I cannot do this by myself. And I need to know that he's gonna help me when things have gotten too big. My deadlines have gotten too short. I need him, and I need to know that he's going to fight with me and for me, whether I'm present or not. Wounds made by a friend are intended to help, sometimes fighting for me. And there's been a couple times he's come home, put his hands on my shoulders, and he said, no, well, we are going to pray. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't want to pray about this. I'm just going to say no. And he says, no, we're going to pray. And he has literally wrestled me to the floor. We are going to pray. No, I'm not going to pray. I'm so out of Nebraska. I'm done. But we need you. My question is, can I count on you to work with me, to help me, to jump in? I need you to support me. Can I count on you when I'm struggling, falling, maybe even sinning? Even if you can't do it yourself, please don't use that as an excuse. I am weary of seeing me and hobbled by fear. Well, I'm afraid I might fall with you. Then you need to get somebody else in this picture, but please,
amen,
don't leave me,
amen,
standing out in the cold. Well, you need to call the sisters. Well, let me tell you, me and the sisters have some issues sometimes. And some, I'm telling you, I would rather have a bazillion men than two women. I just shake this way. I'm a man on the inside, really. I just rather you straight up say that is the ugliest shirt I have ever seen in my life. And women have issues with each other because we have this honesty issue sometimes. A man can walk up to me and say, you know, I think you're out of line with what you just said to Carolyn. And I'm like, oh God, I'm radically repentant. Okay, Carolyn. Well, with a woman, I was like, you know, I'm already questioning all that. Women are, we're just shaped different. Is that an excuse? Absolutely not. Nobody is on an excuse. Jesus paid too high of a price. Amen. But I'm just telling you, I'm tired of seeing men hobbled to be a brother because they're afraid of their flesh. You know, look, I'm struggling with my flesh. And I feel like, you know, your wife might need some help in this and that area. You tell somebody else. Let's don't be hobbled by fear anymore. You can be a brother, and you keep your behind safe and keep mine safe. Does that sound like it makes any sense in here? Now, I know that's not a message that men hear, but women, I hear single women say, I'm even afraid to ask for help with my car, because you know women don't understand stuff like that, because I don't want it to look like the appearance of evil, blah, 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 and we stand around helpless because we're afraid and you're afraid. Do you see how that works? Yeah. If you're unsure, ask. So I just want to encourage you today in those three areas. Would the women in your life say that he's my brother? Might be your brother, your husband, your pastor. Will you be a brother? Verse 8 says that life became pretty meaningless because there wasn't a brother. Males with the same father, working together, serving together, supporting, encouraging, correcting, guiding. Would the women in your life look you straight in the eye and say that that man is my brother? We share the same father. Are you able today to say, the women in my life, no matter how young, how old, are able to say that they are better and that I can be more than just a leader, a pastor, a husband, and a father? I can be a brother to them, which is what they need.
Amen.
Because we have the same father. Hook, come on up. You are a brother, and you are a male, and you share my heavenly father. That makes you my brother. And I want you to seriously think for a second, have I been so focused on my other roles that I've not really jumped in, supported, defended, encouraged? the women that God has put in my life at any age and stage to be a brother.
Father, we thank you, even today, for the challenge of the word, God, that we would see ourselves as brothers, not only brother to brother, but God, with our sisters, that God, we wouldn't be afraid to work, that we wouldn't be afraid to support, that we wouldn't be afraid to stand up and speak on behalf of our sisters. And God, we just pray that as men, our hearts would be so excited about the privilege, the responsibility, and the challenges of being men in this world that we live in today. God, we see it as so obvious to us that the godly standard of a man of God is faltering. God, we're falling at the left, we're falling at the right. God, we're becoming insignificant in our schools. We are absent in our homes. And we're playing games in our political arena. And Father, we just pray as men in this room that we would hear the challenge to our hearts, that we would not just hold positions, that we wouldn't just hold titles, but that our sisters would be able to say that we are faithful brothers. God, we thank you for the challenge of the word today. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives, God, that we may grow thereby. Lord, we thank you for our sister today, as she's blessed us with the word of God. Father, we pray your favor upon her life, that she would continue to walk in the fullness that all you have for her. Thank you for her being here with us today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all the brothers say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you, brothers. Hug on somebody. Have a great day.
And if you registered to vote, you have an obligation to. So make sure you vote today.
In Douglas County.
In Douglas County.
Early and often.
on behalf of all of us, would you consider giving me your vote to try to kiss her?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That ain't even kissing my eye. Thank you so much.
All right, guys.